Yo, what is going on? Some Dude, episode 194, I think, Mike?
194. Yeah.
194, make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, make sure you go ahead and get that merch. Make sure you follow us on everything on social media at Some Dude Pod. A lot of stuff going on today. Oh, that did not go the way that I wanted to go, sending this link to one of my coworkers. But, man, this has been a week, Mike. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we might end up just starting the show like this forever. But, because, man, this week has been a week, man. But mental health check, how we doing?
I'm okay, man. I was, last week was the first pod back. And first pod back in over a month since the passing of my mother. And last week, you know, I felt like I was able to, you know, get back on here and, you know, we could do our thing and everything like that. And then, you know, even after that, I was able to speak and, you know, talk about, you know, some of the things, how I was feeling and everything like that on here. And then, you know, throughout the week, I was doing okay. And then I seen the quote. I seen the quote from Regina King.
Regina King had her first
public interview since the tragic loss of her son. And you know, she had a quote in that interview, which you know, it really touched me. And I felt it. And she said, "Grief is a journey. Grief is love that has no place to go." And I felt that, you know, and I felt it because it's kind of like, you know, everybody grieves differently. Everybody grieves a certain way. And, you know, it takes people longer to deal with certain things compared to other people, so to speak, and everything like that. So I kind of felt that. And I felt that in a way, too, because I just, like I said last week on the show, I told myself, I was like, man, like, I felt like during that whole week of like, you know, getting everything together for my mother, I felt like, man, like I'm people need me to, you know, get this thing going and get, you know, these arrangements together. But I was like, man, who gonna be there for me? And, you know, who gonna be there when I need them? You know, and I don't have time to grieve on my own. And, It had me thinking of the type of person my mother was. And my mother, she was, my mother is what you call, I would call her a nostalgic hoarder. So she was the type of person, and I think I get this from her as well. My mother was very nostalgic. My mother was very, you know, very a collector. She also
got all the photos.
Oh yeah, all the photos, man.
All the photos.
Her, my mom, and my dad, I think they did a very good job of, you know, collecting memories for my family, which included my mom, my dad, me, and my brother. I think, you know, and I think part of the grieving, you know, obviously, like, you know, I've been going through a lot of my mother's stuff, a lot of stuff that I've already known that she's had, which includes like pictures and you know, a lot of collector's items and stuff like that. And just seeing that, it just reminded me of myself because I'm the same way. I have a daughter, you know, I have a wife, and me and my wife, we go out, we do things, you know, we attend events together. My daughter, she's a athlete and a dancer. And me, and that just reminded me of me and my brother, because me and my brother, we were two sport athletes growing up, and my mom and my dad were always there. They were always taking pictures, you know, making sure they collect the memories, always gathering the memories, you know, that we could always have. And it made me think about when people say, like, you know, sometimes when you're out, you know, a lot of people, they like to say, like, man, yo, y'all always pulling y'all phones out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should live in the moment, which living in the moment is cool, but it really made me appreciate people that, you know, it's okay to gather those memories on your phone, you know what I'm saying, to have. Because I posted a post on my Facebook page maybe about a week or so ago. It was me and my mom at the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, and but they did at Soldier Field. And those videos, I could, you know, I could see myself and my mother, like, we were so happy. I look at those videos every day because that was a moment that I had with my mother, one of many, where she was happy and just enjoying herself. And I could have went to that concert and not recorded anything. I could have been living in that moment, but I wouldn't have that memory to live with. And I feel like all of those memories that I collected and all those memories that I have with my mother, and every memory that she collected of me and my brother, and, you know, all the moments that we had with her and my dad, that's gonna be part of my grieving journey. I can go back and look at those photos anytime I want to, and that will help me grieve. That will help me, you know, move past all of this and just keep me in a good, sane space, because I don't get sad when I look at those pictures. It just warms my heart, and to see, and it makes me appreciate, you know, that my mom made sure to collect every moment, memory, photo, whatever it was that she could with me and my brother, you know what I'm saying, and my father. And I love them for that. And that makes me the way I am as well, because, like I said, I have hundreds and thousands of videos of me, my wife, my daughter, us just out living and doing dope things. So that I say all of that to just say, like, man, yo, if y'all out doing things with y'all kids, man, and, you know, y'all wives, y'all significant others, friends, whoever, man, it's okay to get them flicks off, G. Get them flicks off, get them videos off, man, because once you post that, you know what I'm saying, on the internet, that's going to live forever, bro. Long past you, and people can go back and look and see, like, man, yo, he was living that life. He was doing his thing, bro. Like, them moments that people could look at, and then they could live with those moments and keep that in that happy place in you. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how a thought that I had. Like, I know when people say, like, man, yo, live in the moment. Y'all ain't got to pull your phones out for everything, and that's cool. But if you do decide you want to, yo, living in the moment is actually capturing the moment, you capture that moment, yo. Capture that moment with whoever it is, your significant other, that you have with you. And then you just never know when that person or you could be gone. And that moment, a memory, can help somebody grieve. That could be part of their grieving process of remembering, like, oh, man, I'm so glad I was able to capture this with this person that I was with. You know what I'm saying? So that's just, you know, that's just a thought. I've been thinking about that all week, man. And Sunday, I really had a rough time on Sunday. But once again, I was going through pictures and looking at stuff, and it just warmed me, helped me, and, you know, got me through the day, you know, so I just wanted to let that out there, you know. That's where I'm at, headspace wise. So, yeah. Other than that, I'm good.
Yeah. So you said something right there that was very important for me. I'm not the best picture taker. I remember even like when we was doing Windy City Underground, everybody's like, yo, why you don't take no pictures? I'm like, I'm working.
Yeah.
I have nothing from that time to show what I was doing. Like, nothing. For outside of like the events that we did, I have like nothing.
I hope hold on. Go ahead, Bang. I'm listening to you. My wife is right here. She helping me with this. And my wife's birthday is tomorrow as well.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
But okay, honey, if these don't work, then it's okay. Don't worry. But thank you. Like,
oh, you be saying honey?
They say, oh, you be saying honey?
Sweet ass. Oh, you say honey.
But yeah.
Not saying I don't call Miriam honey. You know,
yeah.
But you know, but yeah. Like, what up, nigga? No, I'm just playing. But no, man. Like, when I was growing up, my mom took all of the pictures. Mm-hmm. It's funny because she got, like, all of my school pictures and all of that stuff. And I remember when I put up some photos of my homie And my homie was like, damn, your mama got everything, G, like of all of us. So I understand that hoarding shit. I understand that, right? Because she got all of the photos. Now, the wild thing of what you're saying was when Instagram first came out, it was right around the time that I had went to Mississippi to see my grandmother. It was her 80th birthday. And I had grabbed my phone, videoed my grandmother, her laugh, then I videoed my aunt and her laugh. That weekend was the last time I saw my grandmother in person. What about 2, 3 years after that, she had passed away. So that video is my last memory of in person of my grandmother. So I share that video every year. Every year that video gets a share on social, because that's the last time I saw. And when I see the video, I do get emotional. Because like that's my heart. But also it's the laugh that gets me. Like my grandmother had a very unique laugh. So when I see that video, I feel sadness because that same weekend, my grandmother had said, it'd be more people up there if you just went ahead and gave me some grandkids. And when I got back home, Trey was conceived. So really, she asked for him. And I wasn't trying to have no baby. That's a long story in itself. But she asked that he came. And I'm upset that I didn't get a chance to see her before she left, but I still got that video. I still got a laugh. And yeah, I've probably seen more people pass away family-wise in these last couple of years, family members that I felt like was close. Like for example, my cousin Jamal was more like my uncle because, if you listen to the show, my mom grew up with the only child. So a lot of her cousins, not all of y'all, but a lot of my mom, well, some of my mom's cousins, I think of as uncles. Jamal was one of them. I have a picture, speaking of hoarding, there's a picture of my father, Jamal, and me. I was 4 years old. And I was given the thumbs up because, like, at 4 years old, for some reason, I was just thumbs up and everything. Just, but Jamal was staying with us at the time. It was during Christmas. And when Jamal passed, the first picture I went to was that one. And while my mom has plenty of pictures of him and my grandmother before she passed, I saw pictures of him when he was young and his old lady Janice, like my auntie. I always went back to that picture. Me, him, my father, thumbs up. And Jamal, like, I'm probably not doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for him. And his father, my uncle Floyd, telling me, like, yo, no, let him talk. Like, I was the kid that when the grown folks was talking, I didn't get told to leave the room. No matter what the conversation was. Like if I was around certain grown folks like them two and they talking, no, let Lili, because they used to call me Lili when I was younger. No, let Lili stay up here. No, he need to hear this. He need to hear this. I'm 6 years old, like, I'm trying to hear this. No, he need to hear this. Whether it was about politics, it could be about women just kicking it under that. They was, no, he could stay. He's good. I sometimes think that was because of my grandmother, though. My grandmother died when I was 2 years old. I mean, 2 years, 2 months old. My grandmother died when I was 2 months old. And as I get older, I kind of realize that a lot of the reason that people, like my mom's cousins and my aunties, I kind of get some of the reason why they was talking to me and treating me the way that they did, because they loved my grandmother and she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So they protected me and they wanted to insulate me. And like, now that I get a chance to look back, like, I'm clear. It's clear to me that a lot of that was, that's ain't Pat grandson. We got to make sure he's straight.
Yeah.
But it's two things that I hate that I don't see. Well, three. I've never seen my father young.
Let me like say this. Pictures, like pictures wise, you never
There's
seen?
No picture. I have never seen a picture of my father and my uncle under 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I think that picture, one picture that I saw was 17. It's a picture my father had a beer in his hand, a cigarette, and an afro.
Yeah.
And it was dedicated to another woman. And my mom was pissed when she saw that. But that's the youngest photo I have of my mom wasn't around at that time. Shit. But that's the youngest photo that I've seen of my father.
Yeah.
I've not seen my father as a baby. I've not seen my father as a toddler. I have not seen him as an adolescent. I think he's 17 in that picture. Mm-hmm. I think. But I've never seen a photo of my father and my uncle young.
Mm.
I have to look at my sons and think maybe they looked like him.
That's crazy.
Maybe like Landon probably is the one that when I look at him.
Not even a baby picture.
Not like, even a baby picture.
Hmm.
Like nothing. When I say nothing, G, I have not seen a photo at all of this man from a newborn to possibly 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
My mom, there's a picture of my mom. She had a teddy bear or something. And I've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a couple of baby pictures of her. And then, you know, like from like maybe like 10 years old up, I've seen my mom.
Yeah.
I've seen maybe two or three pictures of my grandmother.
Yeah.
That's it. She drinking and smoking. And there's one, I think she was at a funeral, and they took a picture. But I don't have a lot of pictures of my mom's mom. So like I said, as far as like my son goes, like Landon is the one that I look at and be like, I think Landon looked like my father and my uncle when they was growing up.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they take the Landon, even though Trey's the oldest and they love Trey, of course, my father tends to take more to Landon than he does everybody else.
Okay.
And that's why it makes me think that Landon reminds him of him when he was growing up. But it's like, when you talked about the picture thing, it's like, yeah, that's important. Because like now we're the photo generation. We're in that generation that everybody's taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I want my grandsons and my great grandsons and whoever comes behind me to know who I am, to see who I am. What up, Griffin? I want them to know who I am. Mm-hmm. I want them to see a photo of him and be like, yo, that's him.
Yeah.
So now I do take more pictures than I probably would have because I didn't get a chance to see a lot of that of my parents when growing up. If somebody showed me a picture of my father when my father was 5 years old, I'd probably cry. I'm not even going front.
Yeah.
I'd probably cry because I'm like, yo, that's him?
Yeah.
And knowing where my father come from, Greenwood, Mississippi, the Delta, pick cotton, didn't have plumbing inside the house. Like, yo, we about to go shit and piss in the bucket. Like, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to see that.
Yeah.
I got to go to Mississippi to get an idea of what he grew up around.
Yeah.
But seeing him as a kid would probably have me out here Carl Thomas emotional, crying like, yo, that's my dad?
Yeah.
Wow. And the old man know how much I feel about him and everything. And the last time we was in Mississippi was for my grandmother's funeral.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and my cousin Otis was talking about one day, like, yo, you know, this is the most we got to see about them growing up.
Yeah.
Like, now that my grandmother's dead, like, all of these stories are coming up about them, about how they was when they was growing up and everything, how bad they was, mm-hmm. the trouble that they got into with the law and everything. Like, the dude that's like, that I think at the time was like the current sheriff of police. He was just a police officer. He actually looked out for them because he looked out for my grandfather because my grandfather was selling moonshine. And he had the best moonshine, I guess, in Greenwood, Greenville, Mississippi or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, to see all that, to hear all that, and then to see a picture of my father at like 5, 6, 7 years old, man, I would kill for that, fam.
I feel like it's probably some pictures out there, bang, and I hope one day you get your hands
on it. I can tell you it's not.
It's not, huh? Nothing.
I can tell you it's not.
Sure.
It's nothing.
100% sure.
I'm 100% sure because it would have been out already. My grandmother, Georgia Meeks, would have showed me this shit. She would have been like, yo, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. But that's why I try to take as many pictures of my father now, especially.
Absolutely.
Especially with his grandkids. So as they get older, if he's still around, they can see him. That's why I'm glad that they have pictures of all of their grandparents and all of the older people that's around them. They get to see pictures of them when they was younger. So like Trey get to see my father and all that stuff. Like, oh, that's him? That's Pawpaw? Oh, man. Okay, Pawpaw was in a watermelon contest? Like, what is going on, man? Fam, what's... This is what happened, fam. Like, mm-hmm. he gets to see him with a Jerry curl. He get to see him with an afro. He get to see him with a bald head. You know what I'm saying? With my mom, he get to see my mom in different eras. And I'm just going to make sure that the people get to see all of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I'm with you. Hoard them pictures because, hoard them videos too. Because, like, you never know when you're going to lose somebody.
Yep.
And you need that. And even the picture that's behind me right there, that's my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And that photo of him going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's planted the way that it's planted, because I feel like he got my back at all times. So, you know, like, no, I need those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, yeah, no, hoard them joints. You are 100% right. Mental health check for me, man, it's been rough. Like, this week was rough. Not these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Work was, to you, huh?
Man. Boy. I did Ramadan for 7 days. I told, shouts out to Weesaw. I told Weesaw I was giving him 7 days. I did.
Can you give me a brief update? Exactly what did you do as far as Ramadan is concerned? What exactly?
I cussed. I clearly cussed. You don't supposed to cuss.
All right, look, but, man. Y'all seen Entourage, right? Ari Gold. Yeah. They like, I think during what is called a Yama Kapoor or something. Like, he cursed all the time through all of that.
Yeah.
He made a, what is that for, like, the, that's for, what was Ari Gold in Entourage?
Jewish.
There we go. Jewish. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he probably wasn't supposed to be cursing. And he was cursing. So
he probably
it's all good.
It's all good. But I didn't eat or drink from sunup to sundown.
So technically, what is sun up is what?
So normally around this time, sunrise is around between 6:57, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Central. And sunset is around 6:57 to 7 o'clock.
That is crazy.
No water, no nothing to drink, nothing to eat. That whole time.
That is
for 12 hours.
So if you wake up at 5, you got to do everything you got to do before.
You
got to
do what you got to do. Eat you a big meal, milk before and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But prayer, I ain't gonna lie. Like it, like you know, I was struggling like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Closed my door, prayed. Got some stuff off. A prayer was answered. And next year I'm going to full joint.
Okay. How many days is it?
A month.
A month of fasting. Complete fasting.
So let me give you an example.
That is absolutely crazy.
Kyrie Irving, who's not Muslim. Yeah. Kyrie Irving was not Muslim, but he practices Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
That game that he played. The other day,
yeah.
During the day,
mm-hmm.
on ABC, the left-hand hook shot on Jokic to win the game No water.
Look.
No food.
We don't got no excuse.
No water. No food. He had a game during. See, the Kyrie Irving thing was special for a number of reasons. Oh, that's yeah. the most one. Most special one.
Because my mans was out there hitting the game winner with his left hand on no fluids.
No fluids, no food.
That is crazy. That is absolutely
can't even
crazy.
Get a towel and be like, no water, no food, left hand hook shot to win the game over the potential 3-time MVP.
Newfound respect for Kyrie Irving. I always have respect for Kyrie Irving. I love his game, love what he stands for and everything like that. But that's a different kind of level.
That's a different kind of level.
That's craziness.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Dream shaking folks. Mm-hmm. No water, no food until sundown.
Gotta respect it.
You gotta respect it. So it definitely gave me a clear mind on some things. Right. Next year, 2025.
And I respect you, Bang, for you doing it for 7 days. That's, look, respect to that because that's tough.
Very. That's tough. And I'm going to try not to cuss next year, too.
I don't think you're
going to I'm going to go to full Ramadan.
I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, too.
But I respect you for trying.
But I gave my man Weezy on 7 days. Yeah. I told last year I did it for 2 days. This year I did it for 7. Next year I'm going to try to do the whole month.
Okay.
So we're going to see what happened. But much respect to Kyrie Irving and any Muslim or anybody practicing Ramadan and playing sports right now, playing the NBA, running up and down that court. And you, everybody over there talking about some. No, it's timeouts. And everybody over there talking about some.
Water boy can't hand you the water. He can't give you no jug. He can't give you a container, bro.
Oh, man, it's Ramadan. He don't want no water.
That's crazy.
Man, that's messed up. Like, Miriam almost messed me up. Miriam going to tell me to go to McDonald's. To get the kids something like fam, so I'm just gonna be in the car with McDonald's,
McChickens and fries, hitting you right in the nose.
Roma just hitting me dead in the nose. I'm getting hungry. Don't do that. She's like, man, I'm bad. I'm sorry. So yeah, so nah, man, it's a lot of learning experiences that happened these last couple of weeks. But, you know, things are looking up and everything. But, nah, man. Nah. First of all, if he went to In-N-Out Burger fam in Dallas, he should be ashamed of himself. If you're going to do that in Texas, go get you some Tex-Mex. All right? If you're going to cheat on Ramadan, go get you some Tex-Mex.
Make it worth your while, huh?
Make it worth your while. You know what I'm saying? But you think Allah was going to let him hit that hook shot over Jokic? If he broke Ramadan? If he broke fast? Mm-mm. Allah was looking out for Kyrie.
Yeah.
So, all right, man, let's go ahead and transition to some sports. I know last week, you know, we really wanted to get back, but really kind of like talk about the things that's been personal for both of us and everything. But, man, let's go ahead and get to some of the stuff that's happened throughout the week. One of the biggest ones, as far as financial reasons, it just so happens to be the rumor that came out that said that Bruno Mars owed $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
$50 million.
Yeah.
To the MGM Casino.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling debt.
Mm-hmm.
Mike.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the MGM came out and said, nah, he don't owe us that. Everything is straight.
Yeah.
But forget all that. Forget the truth.
I call cap, though. Look.
Why you say that?
Cap. That's cap. I believe it. You want to know why? So, first of all, first and foremost, let me say, speaking of Bruno Mars, I need another Bruno Mars album because 24 Karat Magic, that's hovering around the C word. I ain't going to throw it out there, but we could use another Bruno Mars album. But the first single from that album was called 24 Karat Magic. And one of the lines in that song he said, first of all, they shot the video at a casino. I don't even know which casino they was at, but it was at a casino. That's first and foremost. One of the lines in that song was, I quote, I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Keep up. When he said that, and then given all the past rumors of him, you know, with the cocaine and everything like that, you know, gambling debt, bro, that fits right into this narrative of Bruno Mars.
I'll say this.
I'm a dangerous man with some money. Look, that's a look, bro. Listen to me, bro. That quote right there is that's a real life quote, okay? Because there are people out here who actually live that in their brain, bro. When they got money on them, in their pocket, in their possession, they can be a dangerous person. And that can involve many things. And he said that line shooting a video inside of a casino, okay? So when that report came out, that's the first thing that clicked to me is that, yeah, I believe it. Now, I think he got like he got a residency out there with MGM. All they did was take that out of his paycheck.
$90 million.
They just took whatever he owed, they just took it out of his cut.
Just garnished his check.
Yeah, just garnished him. MGM had to cover it up. But that
garnished his check.
Look, check it out, bro. My man Bruno was at the crap table, at the blackjack table. He was going crazy.
Mike. No, Mike. See,
I believe it, bro.
Hear me out. Hear me out, Mike. First of all, I'm not saying you wrong. Just hear me out. Hear me out here. If Bruno Mars owed $50 million to MGM, the MGM need better muscle. They need better muscle. Come on, Nat. We watched enough movies to know if you owed $1,000, somebody's trying to break an ankle. They trying to break a finger, a thumb. You know, they might try to saw something off. They threatening your family. Yeah. Like, come on, man. You mean to tell me some Italian dude didn't walk up to Bruno Mars after a performance and grab him by his neck? Like, come here. And Bruno Mars wasn't in the basement of the MGM casino, strapped down to a chair, knocked out, and then they throw some water in his face.
So you talking about, you see the movie 21 with Kevin Spacey?
Nah.
You never seen 21? That's your in
No, but I've seen damn near every other mobster movie that if somebody owes, what's the movie? Matter of fact, the Adam Sandler movie? Was it when he was betting?
Oh, Uncut Gems.
First of all, Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems is the most uncomfortable movie that I've ever watched.
I remember when I first watched that movie and you said that you had anxiety the whole movie.
The whole movie, fam. I had
too.
Anxiety.
I did
so,
too.
When you think about Bruno Mars owing $50 million, I'm thinking about Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems, or like she said in like old girl promoting the movie, Uncut Gems. She's like, Uncut Gems. But no, I'm thinking about Uncut Gems, Adam Sandler owing all of that money and how them dudes was coming into the jewelry store trying to whoop his ass every chance he get. And he like, yo, I'm going to get you the money. I'm about to put some money up on this. That man had the perfect parlay and died after the parlay hit.
That shit's crazy to me, bro.
And he owed less than Bruno Mars. Where are the muscle MGM Grand? You were supposed to take Bruno Mars to the basement, knock him out, take him to the basement, tie him up in a chair, pour water in his face so he could wake up, and then say, hey, where's the money? If you don't give us this amount of money by this date, we breaking your leg. If you don't give us this, we're going to break your mother's leg, your father's leg. We're going to kidnap your children. We're going to burn the house down. They didn't do none of that. You mean to tell me they was just like, hey, man, this gambling debt getting bigger. Well, it's at $50 million. How did they get that? Like, how? No, the MGM sucks at muscle. Where's the mob here? Like, if you owe $50 million to the MGM, you don't owe it to them. You owe them to the mob. And the mob should have whooped Bruno Mars' ass when he owed $10,000 just to let him know you gone too far. 50? No. Because I'll tell you this, Mike, right now, if I owe $50 million, if somebody would have ever come up to me and say, JR, you owe us $50 million. Yo, pray for me. I'm going to make decisions about my life that has nothing to do with y'all. Like, if 50 million, you can't pay that back. I don't give a look. I told Miriam this because she said what you said. They probably just took that out of his check. Mike, that means he now owed the label. He's going to have to do an album to make up and recoup all of that. Because remember, he got to pay the band and all that shit too. Like, that yeah. 90 million, everybody who does that show get paid out of that 90 million. Mm-hmm. So that means Bruno Mars got to have a amazing album that's coming. But he got the label going to give him the money to do that. He got to pay the label back. So Bruno Mars is basically a slave for the rest of his life. If I'm a slave for the rest of my life, gee, I am having a conversation and y'all going to be like, nah, don't do that. Don't do that. No, I am literally going to be at a ledge and I might not make it back. If somebody say 50 million, man, somebody told me I owe $5,000. I'm shitting bricks. 50 million? No, nah, man, the mob should have whooped his ass. But when he got to 10,000 fans.
All right, but look, though. How do we not know Bruno ain't get his ass whooped? He might have. let's just say that for sure. We don't know. We're not 100% sure Bruno ain't get his ass whooped because he probably did. So, but it's my thing, too, though. If they were to make a decision like that, you got to think about it, bro. This is Bruno. Are we going to really? We know he good for it. He got a residency with us. We're going to bring that in off two concerts that he do. That's why I'm thinking to myself, it's just, what?
Somebody had to whoop it. You right.
I'm trying to say, that's we can look at it from both angles. If the muscle could whoop his ass, let him heal, and then send him back out there to go perform and get that money back.
We don't know that. Mike, just thinking the movies and shit, right? Mm-hmm. A very underrated part of a movie that we all know and love that don't get talked about at all is the beginning of Five Heartbeats.
Okay.
Yeah. What was they doing in the beginning of Five Heartbeats, Mike?
Yeah.
It was gambling.
Gambling.
They was cheating. Shit went wrong. One of the dudes made it. One of them didn't. It's Five Part Harmony.
That's crazy.
Eddie was not supposed to be a part of the Five Part Harmony.
Yeah.
That man ran for his life while the other dude getting hit by a car. He slid his ass. Oh, ain't got no money. Mm-hmm. Bruno is Eddie Kane.
That's crazy, bro. That is absolutely crazy. But the whole scenario of the muscle and him getting his ass whooped just reminds me of the movie 21. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's Kevin Spacey. He was a college professor, and he was teaching students how to count cards. And he would take his students to, like, Vegas every other weekend. And Lawrence Fishburne was one of the guys that, like, you know what I'm saying, look at the cameras and be paying attention and see, like, which table got hit this night or at this casino. And he finally caught up with Kevin Spacey ass and was whooping his ass in a dark room. Whooping his ass in a dark room because he was telling them, look, don't bring your ass back here to Vegas counting cards and, you know what I'm saying, ripping us off. And he kept coming back anyway. He kept coming back anyway. And he still was whooping his ass. But that just reminds me of that when you say by Bruno Mars getting his ass beat in the dark room by the muscle. Who says that didn't happen?
You're right, though. But, you know, shouts out to Bruno Mars for being the throwback. Bruno Mars, cocaine, look, gambling.
As soon as they say Vegas, there, I believe it. I believe it. I believe he owed them money. Now, was it $50 million? I don't know.
It might be $50,000.
They probably made an agreement with him, though, and they probably put that statement out, like, saying, oh, yeah, these accusations aren't true. They try to clean it up. But I'm pretty sure Bruno Mars was doing some gambling out there. Did the residency start yet? Has he started his residency?
Yeah, it's been since 2016. He been there. I think since 2019.
I thought they announced, like, a new one.
No, I think it's the same one.
I feel like they announced. I think they just announced him doing a new one, bro.
It was a long-term residency at MGM, long term in this case could be forever. It could be forever, fam.
Look, man.
Matter of fact, you know who Bruno Mars is right now? Michael Jordan if he would have lost to the Monstars. That's who Bruno Mars is.
What did the Monstars tell Michael Jordan? They said, we are going to chain you up and you're going to play one-on-one against everybody and you're going to lose.
Bruno Mars is going to be at the MGM singing 24K Magic for the rest of his life.
That's 24K
Magic. And yeah, like, you know that little boy that was dancing shit? He don't feel like dancing no more?
Yo.
That's going to be Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is going to be 60 years old. 24K Magic. Get it right. And it felt so player. But yeah, shouts out to Bruno Mars for being very old school in his approach. Allegedly has a cocaine habit. Allegedly has a gambling habit. Sings the hell out of 60s and 70s versions of his songs.
Uh-huh.
Throwbacks. He's a throwback to an era yeah. that you get hooked on drugs and gambling.
Yeah.
And but you make great albums.
Yeah.
I appreciate Bruno Mars now more than I ever did. Because to make Magic the way he do under duress, he got to be one of the greats. Look, man, think about it, Mike. Think about it, Mike. Look at every documentary you've seen. And look at every documentary you've seen when it comes to artists back in this between like the 40s
mm-hmm.
on like Little Richard. Go watch the Little Richard documentary.
Okay.
Little Richard was making great music under duress. Ray Charles was making great music under duress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of these singers was making great music. Like, if you was making music during the Civil Rights era.
What is the term they say? Singing like the rent dude. That's for real.
Yeah, that's for real. That's the problem with R&B right now. Ain't shit threatening your life in order for you to make quality music. You don't have strife going on. Jodeci best music was when KC was on cocaine. He had issues. Think about it.
Yeah.
Who in the R&B struggling right now? Like, who is really got life issues going on right now?
You don't really know.
Everybody
Summer Walker, maybe? I don't know.
No, but Summer Walker be having a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
She make quality R&B music.
Quality R&B and Pulaski music.
There you go. But like, that's what's probably missing the R&B struggle. Because if Bruno Mars, if he didn't just amass that $50 million debt this year, if he's been in the residency for 9 years, that's 9 years of quality music that Bruno Mars, he gave us Silk Sonic during that time.
That's crazy.
The debt might have been $25 million at that time, but
1.5 a night?
Yeah.
$1.5 million a night?
And he does cocaine, reportedly, allegedly, and owes a balance of a whole bunch of money.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I believe that shit, bro. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you.
I believe it.
What's missing, Bruno Mars is proof positive. That's what's missing in R&B music is strife and struggle.
Yeah.
The best R&B music came from people that had issues in their life. The Jackson 5 gave us quality R&B music.
Uh-huh.
They was getting threatened by their daddy.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye made some of his best work high and in trouble. Jodeci gave us The Show, The After Party, The Hotel with a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige gave us...
Is that like their best work to you? Is that
probably.
You think that's their best album?
Probably.
I might have to revisit that one.
Might be.
I can't remember.
Mary J. Blige gave us
My Life. My Life. Yeah.
On cocaine. Now you show me an artist that don't do no drug or don't have no issue, they probably don't have the best album. Every artist... It seems like when they give us their quality work, got to go through some shit.
Yeah.
Usher gave us Confessions after he lost Chili.
Yeah.
He ain't gave us one since.
Yeah.
Usher got to get his heart stomped on. Like Usher got a. Oh, I'm about to give you this R&B album.
Oh yeah, Irv Gotti wrote the Ashanti's first album. Yeah.
So Bruno Mars, continue on. Continue giving us quality work.
Hopefully, we get an album soon, bro.
Hey, we got to now.
Got to come on now. Gotta if pay that debt back, bro. Buddy got to go on tour, G.
He got to go. Now, he can't go out on tour. He can't. He can't leave the state.
He got the contract with That's state. Crazy. Nah, he went on tour with 24 Karat Magic came out, bro. He went on
that.
He went on tour. He came 50. Here. He came
Mike,
here.
He at 50 now. He can't do that.
But how you going to pay his debt back?
He going to do it there. What you say?
That is crazy. MGM. Oh, okay. Got it. Man, that's wild.
Okay, Lotto, I see what y'all did. They just announced the birthday bash.
Yeah, I'm coming. I can't go. That's crazy. I'm going.
I'm going to be in Richmond.
Weeso, I'm coming.
Yeah, I put you on the Weeso, but yeah.
I'm coming. I'm going down there this year.
Yeah, but no, this is lit. Shouts out to... Hey, man, look, I'll say it right here. Birthday bash over Hot 97 Summer Jam.
I saw the Summer Jam lineup. It's like, I don't know. Every year, Summer Jam getting weaker and weaker. What are we doing? And I like Doja. Shout out to Doja Cat. Doja Cat is headlining Summer Jam. And I seen Doja Cat perform live. And she's a great performer.
Yeah.
I seen her perform at Made in America. She's a great performer. So I'm cool with that. But
Doja Cat, Offset, Sexy Red. Met the Man in Red, man, Davido, Sleepy Hollow, T Grizzly,
no,
and 41. But for Summer Jam, it's Lotto and Friends.
That's Birthday Bash.
For Birthday Bash, Lotto and Friends.
Okay.
Key Glock, Boosie, Killer Mike, Huncho, Boss Man D-Lo, T Grizzly is there too. Okay. Famous Sally, YB, Rob 49. And they doing a salute to Big Oomph. So that line and the Friends part, see, it's Lotto, and then there's Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not privy to who the Friends are, but if I know Hot 107.9, the Friends is gonna be lit.
Yeah,
I'm mad. I ain't gonna be able to make it.
Might have to slide down there for that one.
But if you slide down there, we putting you to work, Mike.
I'm cool with that. I got us.
Put you in the pit.
I got us.
Putting your ass to work.
I got us, bro. Don't trip. I'm down at the work.
You know.
I'm down at the work. I will put your ass to work. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I make sure I'm in the building. I don't need nothing else. I already got a place to lay my head down there. We good. I just gotta get in the building. We'll talk.
Just making sure. Might need you to struggle.
Struggle? What that mean?
Might need you.
What that mean?
Might need you to struggle for everyone.
I don't know what that means, bro. What does
my
that
knee
mean?
Ain't.
I'm gonna have to elaborate. Got to elaborate on that one, bro. Yeah.
Hold on.
But it is, the weather's getting nice. This is Fyke Festival. Summer concert season. Lollapalooza just dropped their lineup.
Yeah.
SZA gonna be headlining. Man, I want to be there for that too. I want to see SZA sing live.
I do.
I love SZA.
Not after hearing these award shows.
What do you mean? You not a fan of her like singing live?
It's a lot. Most singers, I'm not a fan of singing live.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen her sing live, so I would be interested in that. Lollapalooza dropped their lineup. Pitchfork just dropped their lineup. Waiting on Hyde Park Fest. Hyde Park Fest, what y'all doing?
I thought they're not doing it.
They're not doing it this year?
I thought they wasn't. I thought that was done.
Like done as in?
Done.
Why would they do that? When did they announce that?
I forgot when.
I didn't hear nothing about that.
Yeah, I think that's done.
Oh wow.
Well, at least for this year, done.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I know Made in America canceled last year. But they canceled too. They had Lizzo.
The Roots Festival just did theirs too.
Roots Festival dropped a lineup.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Roots Picnic.
Roots Picnic. Okay.
So yeah, hey man. Hey. I'm just saying. Man. Let's go ahead and get to some sports real quick.
Yeah.
We haven't had the chance to. But definitely on the other platforms. Shouts out to I Ain't Gonna Hold You. One of the other platforms. We talked about it. Grady Dick.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Grady Dick.
Come on, man.
Grady Dick.
Rookie for the Toronto Raptors.
Grady Dick.
You just gonna keep saying it. This is crazy.
That's his name. I'm not pausing. I'm not saying pause after his name. That's his name.
Crazy.
It's not like I said it's not like I said Grady's. Crazy. If I said Grady's Dick, that's a pause. His name is Grady Dick.
Oh my God.
It's not Grady Dick pause. Blame his family. Like the Kniga dude?
Noah nigga.
Or
his Noah. Name is, they trolled us.
So is Grady Dick's family trolling us too?
Yes. We're being trolled here, bro. No. You know what? I ain't gonna say that. Cause that last name is more common than Noah nigga. All right.
It's so, Noah Kniga.
Noah Kniga, Noah Nigga, whatever. So that Grady's last name is more common. So I know more people with that last name. So their parents didn't troll because his first name is Grady. I don't think that's like a troll. Like that's Grady is the whitest name you could think of. So that don't shock me that this guy's name is Grady. And that last name is very common as well. But what transpired after the basketball game with Grady and what was the other?
Grady Black and
no, not Grady Black.
No, excuse me. Anthony Black
from the Orlando
and Grady
Magic
Dick swapped jerseys after the Toronto Raptors and Orlando Magic game. Anthony Black went over to Grady Dick, say, hey, let's do an exchange. And Anthony was here and Grady was there. So look, when you read the jerseys from the back paws, it said Black Dick.
Look, that whole moment. From the moment when he decided, hey, bro, out of all the players on the team, he could have swapped jerseys with Banchero. He could have swapped jerseys with Franz Wagner.
Maybe he don't know.
He could have swapped jerseys. You ain't got to know him. You could just go over there and politely ask, like, hey, bro, let's do a little jersey swap. He could have with Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony. You know, there are players on the Orlando Magic. But he chose Anthony Black. He knew exactly what was going to transpire here. The trolling was in full effect. Okay? I think there was a video where Cole Anthony saw that they was about to swap jerseys and Cole Anthony made like this face or something like that. Like, you about to swap? Oh, I see what's going on here. Let me get far away from this as possible. I believe that's what transpired there, bro. Like, so they trolled that. And that's just... And I feel like Noah Kniga, whatever, that's going to happen eventually. That's going to get trolled more and more and more, bro. These guys with these last names, that's like crazy. I don't know.
Mike, what is Grady Dick supposed to do?
He knows that his last name is a running joke in the league. It's a running joke. So him going over there trying to swap jerseys with somebody who's the last name Black, he knew. Why are you swapping jerseys with him, Joe? What was his numbers that game? What did he do that game? Like, what are we doing, bro? What are we doing? Let me go look, bro. I need to go see something real quick, bro. What like happened like in this game where he felt like, oh yeah, I gotta go. Like,
what was the stats? What was the stats?
We balled out this game. Let's swap jerseys. Grady
what was the
Dick,
stats of the game?
Grady
what
did Dick Grady... played 27 minutes, went 4 for 11, 2 for 3 from 3-point land, and he had 10 points. Anthony Black played 3 minutes. Went 1 for 1 with 2 points. This is the guy you chose to swap jerseys with. You want to swap jerseys with this guy out of everybody on the team.
You want to swap jerseys with Dick.
Anthony Black, the guy who didn't do Grady Dick played a few. He played a sufficient amount of minutes. He's getting more time, you know, due to, you know, like, you know, their lineup being depleted. So the rookie is getting some burn out there. But you decided, I feel this is Grady Dick. Grady Dick did this. He went up there and he knew that he wanted to swap jerseys with this guy.
No, man. Anthony Black went to him.
He went to him?
Anthony Black went to Dick and was like, yo, we got to swap jerseys.
All right, cool. Yeah, so and then Grady Dick was like, cool. Cool. All right, let's do it.
Dick was like, yeah, let's do it.
Troll, bro. Trolled.
If you viral announced.
Viral moment. You got your moment. Y'all got y'all
so
moment. Y'all got y'all moment, y'all. Congratulations.
Probably a dumb question, but I got to ask for hilarity. Should Anthony Black and Grady Dick be suspended?
Black went to go get a cameraman. Yes, DG, they need to be suspended. Yes. Yes. They deserve to be suspended because they set this up, bro. This is absolutely crazy. So y'all go troll us like this. Now, and then y'all go actually stand. Like, all right, look, I'm going to stand to the right, bro. You going to stand over here because that's what this is going to say.
Black got to go first.
Black got to go first. Because y'all knew when they snapped this picture, this is what's going to pop up, bro. Stop it. They need to be fined. Hit them with a fine, bro. Not a suspension, but they got to be fined, bro.
They got to be fined, Mike.
Yeah, unnecessary jersey swap. They got to put it like unnecessary jersey swap.
So should Grady? So should Grady Dick be banned from any jersey swapping?
Yes, he can't swap jerseys with nobody, bro.
Or at least not in person.
Yeah, you got to do that shit in the locker room, bro. Do that shit after the game.
Discrimination?
No, it's not. That's just look, bro. He ain't gonna ask nobody else. Like, obviously, apparently, he's too scared to ask one of the stars on the team, one of the more better players. He went to the guy that played 3 minutes, or my guy that played 3 minutes went to him. And he was like, all right, cool, bro. Yeah, I'll swap jerseys with you. Let's do it. He said they played against each other since middle school. Yeah. I don't know about all that, but whatever. Like I said, they chose that moment to go viral, and I guess they got it. But like I said, bro, they can swap
they've been jerseys. If that's the case, if
send your jersey playing... to me in the mail, bro. I'll send you my address.
Wait a minute. If they've been playing with each other, pause. Since middle school? That means they've been planning this since middle school.
They planned it, bro.
Mike, these dudes was in the seventh grade like, hey, we're both going to make it to the NBA. And when we make it to the NBA, we're going to jersey swap. That's and it's going to say Black Dick.
That's absolutely
and crazy. Anthony remembered it.
That is insane.
Anthony remembered it like, yeah.
He found his moment. Found the moment. Bro, but look though, I'm trying to. The Toronto Raptors and Orlando Magic then played like 3 or 4 times this season already. Had to. Y'all chose now to get this off. Pause. That's crazy to me, bro. It's crazy. I mean, but you know, whatever.
Black Dick.
I'm not hanging Grady Dick's jersey up on. I'm not putting that
in the frame.
I'm not framing and hanging it up, bro.
One dick. You're not gonna frame one dick.
No. No, bro. I'm not. Keep it. I'm gonna.
You got the Butler jersey behind you. How come we can't get the one dick behind you?
Pause, bro. Pause.
You got the Terrell Owens. Pause. How come you can't put the one
That's
dick?
That's crazy, bro.
For an immature person like me, this is great. Because I am very immature on certain things. This one, I'm very immature on. Yo, I gotta get that jersey. I gotta frame this, fam.
That is absolutely crazy.
Here's mine.
I'm sorry, bro. I can't do it. I'm sorry, bro.
Bang Dick.
Nobody should swap jerseys with that guy, bro.
Dick Bang.
Nope.
Should the NBA made Grady Dick change his name? Should it just be D?
Now that's discrimination. That's discrimination. You can't do that technically. Because like I said, that's a more common last name. It's not a common last name.
Because I think it's an actor.
Yeah.
I think it's an actor.
Look.
What's my man's name? I forgot my man's name.
I've heard people with that last name.
Andy Dick. That's the only person with the last name Dick I know.
Grady D is worse.
Gray D. Alright, just name him Gray D. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just leave it like that, bro.
Look at that. I'm looking at the video. Oh no, he flipped. Ah, yeah, he flipped. AD smiling the whole time. Crazy. They knew what they was doing. And I couldn't even keep a straight face, G. I couldn't even keep a straight face. Nope. Damn. That's wild, Mike.
Yeah.
Man, but you got to support Dick on this one.
Pause, bro. I don't. No, I don't. Libby, I'm watching the video right now, bro. I'm trying to see what's going on right now. Bro, they having a conversation. Yeah, they talking. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, bro, let's use this opportunity to... Hey, the way Grady Dick pulled his jersey off, bro, is wild sus to me. Felt like... Look, Anthony Black like, yeah, yo, hey, yo, come on, bro. Come on and snap this flick, fam. Pause, bro. Pause this whole... This is... I'm done. Anyway, what's next? What we got that's on the docket?
Man. We can talk about the Justin Fields now.
Shout out to those guys, man.
We could talk about Justin Fields now.
Yeah.
I mean, we can stay on Dick, though.
Pause! No, we can't. Just bang, please.
Do you think Dick should be on the all-rookie team? Should Dick be all-rookie second team, at least?
Man, I don't know, bro. He might be considered for third team. Who knows? I don't know.
Dick, all rookie third team.
All rookie third team. Let's see. Averaging 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist a game.
It's a good season for Dick.
Yeah, DG Bag is tripping right now, bro. He's absolutely... This man is... All defensive rookie team? Cool.
Where do you see Dick? What future do you see Dick having in the NBA?
I hope not a good one, because... If he is, we're going to continue to have these kind of conversations that are very uncomfortable and immature.
These are the conversations that could potentially happen.
Look, I hope that the guy fades away respectfully.
You saw Antonio Daniels have a hard time doing color for his games.
Yeah.
Like, the play-by-play dude was like, Dick for three. He was like, bro.
I'm having a hard time having this conversation with you right now. So what do you think... What's going to happen if this guy...
If we could have jersey swaps with Black Dick, we could have a conversation about Dick and the Raptors.
This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy to me, bro.
This is... All right, let's talk about Justin Fields.
This is nuts. Hey, awesome. This is nuts!
All right, man, let's talk about Justin Fields, man. If you listen to some dude pod, I've been telling y'all for quite some time. This season right here, Justin Fields had to be stellar. In case the Bears get the number one pick, he had to be stellar in order for the Bears to not go quarterback at number one. No matter what happened, that didn't happen. And Justin Fields is now on his way to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They traded him. Chicago Bears traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a number 6 pick in the 2024 draft that could go to 4 if he plays 51% of the plays. Justin Fields also joins Russell Wilson, who signed a contract, a 1-year contract worth, I believe, $1.2 million, the league minimum.
Got it for cheap.
No, Russell Wilson is getting paid like $39 million by the Denver Broncos, so you was able to get him for cheap because he's getting paid still by the Denver Broncos.
That money that Russell Wilson's getting paid is like his guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's his guaranteed money. So man, on the outside looking in, what was your thoughts about this trade?
kind of like a you know, relief, finally, you know. I hate it kind of had to happen. I've grown to be a fan of Justin these past two seasons, watching him play. I'm not a Bears fan, but I have been I've been a fan of Justin. And, you know, obviously he still has things he needs to work on with his game and, you know, just him being a much better quarterback. But I saw the flashes of greatness potential that I think that he has. And, you know, I hate to see that what happened to him happened to him, but I also understand it because I honestly just really look at it as like with Ryan Poles coming in and, you know, he cleaning house and just feels pretty much one of those last pieces that was still in the house, that something that he inherited. That's not Justin Fields is not one of the pieces, one of the whatever it is that's he's building. Justin Fields is just one of those things that he inherited, and it's I don't think it's nothing that he wants to keep. And I think Ryan Poles wants to have a foundation built strictly off everything that he's made decision-wise. And I think Justin Fields was just that last lingering piece that needed to go. And him putting the Bears in a position to draft at number one, and you have a potential generational talent right there at number one, I think it would be asinine to pass up on that opportunity. So I understand it from a business standpoint. And like DJ Moore said, business is business. And I think everybody understood that. I think Justin knew. So from that, the Bears standpoint, that's where I'm at. As far as where he's at now with the Steelers, I don't know. I could see Justin Fields being the full-time starter eventually during this year. I honestly feel like even though Russell Wilson had a decent season last year compared to his first season with the Broncos, but still I watched a lot of those games and I seen the highlights of Russell Wilson, and overall he played okay statistically, but he wasn't great, and he is not nowhere near the Russell Wilson of old. And I could see him being benched eventually if he doesn't start out hot. I don't know if maybe a potential, you know, like change of scenery for Russell Wilson is going to, you know, excel his game. Who knows? But I don't know. I could see Justin coming right in and, you know, taking the starting spot and, you know, excelling under Mike Tomlin. Now, I also have concerns as far as like, can Justin Fields or Russell Wilson be successful with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because it's like, what are they going to do on offense? As far as like, what other changes have they made on offense besides trading away one of their best wide receivers? Like, I want to see Justin Fields or Russell Wilson excel in that offense, but what has they done? What have they done, like, offensively to put pieces around it? Because their offense that's been the talk of a Mike Tomlin Steelers team for the past 10 years is the lack of offense. Right. They're going to do enough to win games, but they haven't had an explosive kind of offense in years. So I'm interested to see how they play in that system. Is I can kind of see this being something similar to Denver, a Denver situation for Russell Wilson, because what are we doing offensively here in Pittsburgh? That's where I'm at with it.
So I'm glad that you said that, because I believe that kind of sort of people talking out of both sides of their mouth here. Mm-hmm. And let me explain what I mean by that. First off, what I mean by that is, I want you to think about it in this case. Let's first start with Russell Wilson. I don't believe Russell Wilson is the Russell Wilson of old either. But here's the thing. If I believe in Mike Tomlin, and one of the things that I will say about Mike Tomlin is that he's a leader among men, and he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. And because of that, he'll have the best coaching possible to do yada, 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 right? And saying that, I would have to believe that the same thing that I'm saying for him and Justin would have to be the same thing for him. If I believe in Mike Tomlin as a head coach and the leader of men, I would have to think that this would be beneficial to Russell, mm-hmm. because probably for the first time since his early years, he has a coach that believes in him.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I would tell everybody that's loving this move, because I do love the move, but it comes with context, yeah. caveats. Mike Tomlin don't coach offense. He don't. So when you say that he has the perfect coach in Mike Tomlin, Mike Tomlin also had Kenny Pickett. He also had Mitchell Trubisky. He also had Mason Rudolph. And he got the best out of the defense. Mm-hmm. He didn't get the best out of his quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He got the best out of the defense. The defense that Mike Tomlin set foot, who they set foot on that field, they powered that team. They powered that team when they had an offensive coordinator in Matt Canada, who was terrible.
Yeah.
And out of loyalty, Mike Tomlin didn't fire him. It's just when things got progressively worse, when things hit rock bottom, Mike Tomlin fired Matt Canada. So when we have these conversations about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe that it's context and caveats needed to be added here. Uh-huh. Is Mike Tomlin a great head coach? Yes, he's probably the best head coach in the NFL. But offensively, that team has sucked since Ben Roethlisberger's prime. So, in order to believe in Justin Fields or Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have to believe in Arthur Smith. Mm-hmm. Arthur Smith was a fairly decent offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. He mm-hmm. did get a lot out of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. He gets the head coaching position at the Atlanta Falcons, and they were terrible offensively. He didn't even use Bijan Robinson probably like he should. Mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts like he should. Now, yeah, the quarterback that they had was Huff and Desmond Ridder, but mm-hmm. you felt like you can use Desmond Ridder, ladies and gentlemen. That was a mistake you made as the head coach. When you could have went out and got a quarterback. You could have went out and got Justin Fields in the draft. No, you didn't. No, y'all didn't. But y'all went and got Desmond Ridder in the late rounds and was like, yo, he could be a potential starter. Uh-huh. That team sucked. So when you look at all of these wunderkind offensive coordinators, these offensive coordinators that people put a lot of stock in, when they get fired and have to become an offensive coordinator again, That's when you see how good of a head coach they are, they can be again, or how good of an offensive coordinator they can be. I'll give you a perfect example. Adam Gase. Adam Gase was doing very well as an offensive coordinator. In fact, Jay Cutler raved about Adam Gase, and when he became the offensive coordinator, that was one of Jay Cutler's best seasons as a Chicago Bear.
Mm-hmm.
He went and became head coach, and was a terrible head coach.
Yeah.
And we don't hear about Adam Gase again. So when you look at it, for Russell or Justin. So I understand why everybody loves Mike Tomlin. I get it. Yeah. But remember, he don't coach offense. Arthur Smith does. And he just got out of a system where he was fired. Is he as good as people say or think he is? That's going to be the question. Because Mike Tomlin is not going to fire him and say, yo, I'm going to be your offensive coordinator now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to happen. So you got to look at that offensive side of the ball. The second thing here is this. Man, y'all crazy if y'all think Russell Wilson is going to teach or mentor Justin Fields.
Yeah, I heard that and immediately was like, that's out the window, bro. Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson is on a one-year contract. That man planned for his life. That man planned for his job. That man planned for his career. Because this could be his last stop. This could be his last team that he plays for. I know Russell Wilson has come out and been optimistic, saying that he wants to win more Super Bowls and everything like that. He wants to win two more Super Bowls. But we've seen the performance on the field the last two seasons from Russell Wilson, and he is not trending in the right direction, okay? And I don't see this, you know, him being with the Pittsburgh Steelers as anything that can actually benefit him career-wise, but I could be wrong. Who knows? I like Russell Wilson. I think he's, you know, borderline Hall of Fame. You know, that's a discussion for another pod. But I like him. He's a likable guy, you know what I'm saying? Everything like that. But it ain't realistic for this guy to come out and just turn around and just ball, you know what I'm saying? Like, just come out and have the elite season, and he's going to be out there mentoring Justin, like, you know, showing him the ropes. Nah, that man is focused on keeping his job, all right? That's how I see it. Justin, don't expect much as far as, like, mentoring and all that stuff like that. Go out there and do you. Go out there and take it.
I just want somebody to answer that question. Yeah. Russell Wilson is, if Russell Wilson does not succeed, this is not if Justin can beat out Russell.
Yeah.
This is to the people that think that Russell is going to mentor this kid.
Yeah.
Y'all really think that Russell Wilson, who knows this could potentially be his last stop if he's not successful, is going to turn around and be like, Russell, this is how you do it. I mean, excuse me.
Justin.
Hey, yo, Justin, this is how you do it. This is, no. He's not about to train this man on taking his job. And even if he does win it, they say it's not going to be a competition. They say Russell is the starter for the year. As I already told y'all, Mike Tomlin is loyal. So he's not going to give you a quick hook. He's going to give you every chance you get. So that's one. Two, you think during the season, Russell going to go to Justin and be like, so this is how I did this? No.
You want to
because
do
then
X,
if
y,
I get Z. hurt, because if I get hurt, Justin comes in and ball out, I'm not getting the job back. Russell can't get hurt, and he can't fuck up. He's not about to teach Justin the ropes. He's going to go up in and say, young homie, hey, fam, just letting you know I'm the starter and I ain't giving it up. You better learn from example because I'm trying to not only keep this job, but I'm trying to stay. So in knowing that, you think Justin Fields is going to want to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers after this season if he don't touch the field?
Yeah.
All of this, oh, man, Russell was washed stuff. He terrible, he washed and all of that stuff. If y'all believe in Mike Tomlin and his staff, the way y'all doing about Justin, you have to think the same thing about Russell. Y'all have to think that he has the perfect coach and the perfect offensive coordinator to get the most out of him. Uh-huh. You can't say that that's not going to happen, but then in the same breath say, but Justin's in the right position. If y'all saying this is about coaching, because coaching going to coach and they're going to find a way to get the most out of Russell. Uh-huh. So that's got to stop. Justin could very well be in another uniform after next season. Uh-huh. Because then when you think about it, you got to now think about getting this fifth-year option. You got May 2nd to do it. That's mm-hmm. $25
million. Yeah.
So I'm going to give $25 million to a potential backup? Oh, excuse me. If Russell shines and we re-sign him? No. That's not going to happen. So I get all y'all love for Justin. I love him too. I just don't think that – I think this is a great position for him, mm-hmm. banking on if Russell is washed.
Yeah.
But you also have to bank on the coaching staff that y'all love because y'all said it. Perfect coaching staff, the coach train up, all that stuff. It's Mike Tomlin. He's a leader of men. Yeah. Uh-huh. So he's not going to be a leader of men of Russell Wilson. And Russell is motivated now more than ever to do his thing.
Yeah.
So that's that right there.
And I know, obviously, I think you can speak for the city of Chicago. You can speak for, like, Bears fans. Like, you're pretty much glad that chapter is closed, because that has been the long-lasting talk of free agency, you know, draft day, you know, all of this stuff like that since the season ended. And I know, you know, it's good to have a little bit of closure on that, you know. I could say that I'm pretty sure you feel that way, and every other fan, whether or not they like the move or not, you know, you get a sense of closure there, and you know, size relief, you know, and y'all can move forward with what, you know, the Bears are trying to accomplish, you know, and I could appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, man. If we are going to applaud Mike Tomlin and his coaching, if we're going to applaud that, we also have to applaud the fact that Russell just may benefit from this and have a successful season. And if that happens, Justin's not going to be in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
The one thing I do hate about, you know, this is for Justin is that, you know, you go from like all of these different offensive coordinators and da da da, you finally get to like start a full season minus the, you know, the injury he had, and then you go to another team and now you got to go back to being a backup. It's kind of almost like he's starting over. It's like a starting over process. It kind of feels like he a rookie again, but he got 4 years of experience already. You know what I'm saying? But it just feels like he's in another rookie situation here with, like, you know, playing behind a veteran like Russell Wilson. And I kind of hate that for his – I hate that for his growth, you know, as a quarterback. But it might – but and like you said, it could work out for him. It could work out for the best. And, you know, and it could be the perfect scenario for him. So yeah. I hope it is. I hope this doesn't stunt the growth of Justin Fields as a player, though, having to go sit potentially a full season, because Russell Wilson might ball. Justin might not even see the field. Then what? Then we have those questions. So that I hate that. I hate it from that aspect. But other than that, though, I can see Justin Fields being out there soon. Sooner than later.
Yeah. And quite honestly, maybe sitting for a year and learning from Russell, mm-hmm. from watching him on the field.
Yeah.
Maybe that might help him.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that you can't say that Mike Tomlin is an amazing coach and he gets the most out of players, but then say he ain't gonna get shit out of Russell Wilson. Because if that's the case, if he can't get the most out of a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a two-time Super Bowl attendee, you might start looking. And then also you got to think about it. The Pittsburgh Steelers are tired of just going to the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers are tired of just, you know.
Are we tired? We're tired of celebrating Mike Tomlin having a winning season as a coach.
Yeah.
We're eventually going to get tired of celebrating that. That is our achievement of the season. That is our, you know, the thing that we're celebrating the most here is, oh, yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers have another winning season under Mike Tomlin. Yippee. Nothing to show.
Yeah, they're tired of that. Let me let y'all know that they are tired of that man being celebrated for not having a losing season. You know who else is tired of it? Mike Tomlin. If them boys ain't as successful as you want them to be, yo, Mike Tomlin getting traded to another organization, fam. Yeah. Let me let y'all know that now.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if in 2025, Mike Tomlin is a head coach at another team. So what that mean for Justin? It's a lot of questions going on in that Pittsburgh Steelers organization for y'all to be like, yo, Justin's in a great position for RG3 to be like, oh yeah, you know, they got the Bears and yada. Nah, they got a lot of questions. And the long-term health of that organization, it ain't there, y'all. Because when you look at that NFC North, they might be fourth. All right, man, before we get out of here, Mike, let's fast track this one real quick. Do people still believe in March Madness? Like, do we still like March Madness?
I mean, yeah. I think we've seen some exciting things these past couple weeks as far as like with the conference tournaments and everything like that. I'll say this. I think the women have the undivided, I speak for myself. The women have my undivided attention as far as the tournament is concerned. There are more storylines in women's basketball right now. The current women's basketball, the collegiate women's basketball scene has more storylines going into the tournament than the men do. I'll say that. Now, obviously, people still care, like, it's especially for gambling purposes, pool bracket purposes. You know, we know what comes with March Madness. We love a good Cinderella story. We know they're going to be one or two teams that are going to make their run, you know, to at least the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. You just never know. But as far as, like, the storylines going into the men's tournament, it's really nothing much to talk about here. There's no standout players, standout teams that we're looking at. But as far as the women are concerned, so many storylines. You could go from Caitlin Clark to Juju Watkins to LSU. You got South Carolina. You know, all of these things that we're going to be looking at going into the women's tournament that just sparks more interest than the men. So to answer your question, I think people still do care about March Madness, obviously, but I think the women is something that's overthrowing the men right now going into the tournament, at least this year. So, yeah. I'm interested to see what's going on at the women, more so compared to the men. But I'm just doing a men's bracket because, you know, it's money involved. It's for gambling purposes only. That's why I care.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Shit. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, new power coming. But Power Origins. But they canceled Ghost. Yeah, Power Book 2 Ghost. Yeah. So what's your thoughts, man? What's your thoughts on that one? Are you excited about seeing Lil Ghost?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Lil Ghost, Lil Tommy. And I'm definitely interested to see where I think what's gonna happen is they're gonna do maybe one more season of Kanan or two. And I think like the end of Kanan will lead to Power Origins. That's going to lead to like Kanan meeting Ghost and Tommy eventually. I think it's going to lead into that somehow, some way. I'm pretty sure we're going to see a young Angela as well. But I think the end of Kanan will be the start of Power Origins. And as far as them canceling, I don't even think it's a cancellation. I wouldn't consider this a cancellation as far as like Power Ghost. I don't consider that a cancellation. I just feel like the story has run its course. And, you know, we get a two-part. There's four seasons. Too short of the original Power. But, I mean, it's all good. I'm cool with it. I'm content with it. And I think that they're going to go out with a bang on this one, you know, with a two-part four season, season four. And I think, you know, I think we got something good coming up with that. I've you know, grown to like Ghosts, you know, the show. And I think I definitely like the cliffhanger they left us on the end of the third season. So I'm definitely interested to see where this last season is going to go. And I don't consider it a cancellation. I just figure it's like, all right, this is over. We don't need to prolong this anymore. I think they're learning not to prolong shit. You know what I'm saying? I think more shows need to take heed to that. You know, obviously, this is the most unrealistic drug dealing show of all time. All right. So we're going to wrap this shit up, right? I think that's what we're doing right now. So, yeah. And wrap BMF up, though. So we can go one more season of BMF and I'm straight. Because I can see BMF just getting worse and worse as it goes. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, that's where we at with that.
All right, man. Anthony Edwards, was that a dunk or a hard layup?
Like you said, Bang, that was a hard layup. I mean, it looked good, though. It looked good. John Collins, bruh, you on the internet now forever. Okay, look, it wasn't a dunk, but it looked good, though. That's the hardest layup I ever seen. I just don't understand. Like, Anthony Edwards, man, that would have looked way crazier if you would have actually dunked it. But it was a hard layup, but I think still nonetheless, so it still looked good, though. But as far as like a dunk, I understand where you at with that, man. Like, do we really consider that a dunk on like greatest dunk of the year or whatever like that? Yes, all right, okay. But yeah, he did John Collins in, though. John Collins, we got to have say a prayer for that man, bro. Gave that man a concuss.
Yeah, we got to stop, man. They did this with DeAndre Jordan, too. Like, fam, there's dunks, and then there's just hard layups, fam.
Yeah.
And he got to – look, in order for that to be a dunk for me, he has to grab the rim.
You have to grab the rim. Yeah, that's just like when Dwight Howard won the dunk contest when he did the Superman dunk. He didn't even grab the rim. I think that's one of the most overrated dunks in the dunk contest because a lot of people love that dunk, but it wasn't a dunk. The man had a Superman cape on. It just looked good, and he didn't even grab the rim. So I
think that's just threw it real hard.
Threw it real hard inside of the basket, bro. So yeah, I see where you at with that, man. But what Anthony Edwards did is jumping over John Collins, though, was absolutely insane, though. So I just that was crazy in itself.
All I'm saying is you got to do more.
Yeah, you got to do more to be considered a dunk. A dunk is Scottie Pippen over Patrick Ewing. That's what we need, all right? Dunking over Patrick Ewing, stepping over his ass. Like, that's a dunk. You know, that's a dunk on, okay?
That's all I'm saying, Mike. That's all I'm saying, Mike.
That's what it is. So
we need to get away from these hard layups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. All right, man, Mike, close us out.
All right, man, y'all already know, man, Some Dude Pod, rate, like, subscribe. We on Twitter at Some Dude Pod. We on IG at Some Dude Pod. We on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/ The What Digital. Shout out to everybody that's been rocking with us live on the YouTube right now. We our Facebook group is hashtag Some Dude Pod. The Facebook page at Some Dude at Mike B underscore CHR at JR Bang. Yeah, man, episode 194. We are slowly approaching, slowly but surely, we right there, episode 200. We got a lot of big things coming up, you know what I'm saying, surrounding that. So y'all be on the lookout for announcements and everything as far as episode 200 is concerned. And once again, I'm Mike B, that's JR Bang, and we gone.
Shouts out to Grady Dick, though.
Man, you crazy, bro. Absolutely.